Welcome back to another episode of Football with Ben Roethlisberger. My name is Spence, and I am joined here, as always, with two-time Super Bowl champion, Ben Roethlisberger. Yes, sir.
Hello, hello.
Yes, sir. How are we doing tonight, Ben? I feel like I haven't talked to you today. I feel like typically I'm like, hey, like, especially early in the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you been, bro?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a good night.
Special week, great weekend.
Yeah.
With the Heath Miller inductee ceremony, whatever you want to call it. He was the inductee.
Yeah.
He had a ceremony. Really cool to see that. Louis Lips, I know, got in. Myron Cope got in, which is crazy to me that he just got in with the terrible towel.
Right.
Someone said something too about that was the funniest thing ever, and I couldn't agree more. They're talking about the terrible towel.
Yeah.
And they said, I wish you would have made an easier one to sign. Because it is by far one of the hardest yes. and worst things to sign. But I wish they would have told the story.
Oh,
maybe our guest
towel.
That we have will know the story. But I would love to know how this, like, just sitting around the table, like, hey, a napkin.
Or, yeah.
You know, like, I just don't know how it happened. But it's kind of a unique story. But
I guarantee you that our guest this evening knows the story of the terrible towel. And I think no better person to introduce our guest than 18-year vet of the NFL.
Okay.
Maybe
I know
maybe he's covered you one or twice.
He might have. And we need to apologize at first
for
bumping our guest last week.
Yeah, but, I'm used to being bumped. You can bump me around.
Heath Miller came in last week, and we don't get many opportunities with Heath, if ever again. He was a highly requested guest. So we had Heath Miller in, but this week... we're bringing one right back too, running it right back to people.
Hey, man.
That's what we're doing for our fans. Live around the world for the millions.
Hey.
The one, the only Bob Pompiani.
Hey. So I took a lot of crap for, like, you introduced Heath and you said the whole story, which was true. And I was cool with whatever you wanted to do because Heath is, I mean.
Heath is Heath.
He's great. He's one of the nicest people too you ever want to meet. But anyway. So those guys are giving me a hard time because you said Pompiani.
Potato, potato.
I didn't care one way or the other, but I heard a lot about it.
I didn't even know I said it. So I know it's Pompiani. But if you're like a Pittsburgher, is it Annie? Like they have all those accents.
I just say Pompiani ain't easy.
I know that. We almost had shirts made that said Pompiani ain't easy.
Oh, I would have liked that.
My one request to Bob Spence, I don't know if I told you this. I said, when you come on the show, or two requests. I said two things. Don't wear makeup.
Yeah.
And don't wear a suit.
There you go.
I said, look, wear a t-shirt like what we do. And he said, how about a golf shirt? I have a body not made for a t-shirt.
That's being honest. And I do have makeup on. I came from the studio.
You squeezed us in.
We did.
You squeezed us in. And we are very thankful for that. Happy you could be here. We could talk some. And this would be fun because this will honestly be a unique show because we can actually talk a little bit. I know you've already done, you do the post game and do all the stuff with Hokie and all that, but this would be fun that we can actually, on this show, probably get more in depth on the game a little bit if we want to and get some thoughts because my co-host, as great as he is as a producer, friend, comedian, music, God-fearing man, he doesn't know a whole lot about football. No offense, brother.
I like the sports. Go team.
I'm glad to meet you, Spence. I've heard a lot about you, though. And
is that right?
Yeah, I have. All good stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to meet you. Well, I feel like I've watched you for years, man, so it's really cool to sit here.
It's been a long time, so you probably just accidentally stumbled upon me once in a while. It's nice to do a show where you can actually have a corona, too. So.
Yeah. There you go. But my first kind of question is, are you going to get, like, grief from like other like sports people and newscasters for being down here in the basement on the show first, being the first and maybe only.
I don't know. I'm honored. I think I've known you for a long time. So
we have known each other a long time.
I've seen you on the golf course. I've seen you at events. I have some stories, and I'm sure you have stories on me. So we may not want to go down that path. But
we don't want to talk about our golf stories, Bob.
No, but I will say this about you: you're one of the most competitive people I've ever seen.
Well,
at everything you do.
Yeah.
I remember once in one of Mario's tournaments up at Nemecolon, and they had that floating green out in the mulligans.
Oh, in the middle of the thing.
And there's some pretty significant cash being thrown around, which I immediately withdrew myself from that situation. can't be playing that. It's too nerve-wracking. But you went to town on guys like Jordan and Barkley, and you're hitting that little floating. It was like a little half wedge, not even a wedge.
You know, wedge. It's just an athlete taking advantage of an athlete, you know?
You're just taking all of Michael Jordan's money? And this
all of it. Hey, Mike, 20? Okay. I was a young guy at that time. He tried to intimidate me like I intimidate guys now. Dave, I go for 100. He said, Just go for 1,000. Oh, no. That's how I do the young guys now. Let's do something crazy. They're like, no, I'm out. I'm out. I don't want to do it.
18 years later,
Barkley you're up in the was one of those guys that was fun. Did you play with him
yes.
a few times?
Yes, so much fun.
That swing drove me crazy.
It was hard to watch.
He's actually worked to change it.
I was going
to
say, does he still have that swing?
No, he's fluid now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was
he almost, even went left-hand, I think, for a quick second to try. And he was trying anything.
That's what golf will do for you.
It is. And you're a big golfer like I am. As a matter of fact, didn't you just play Muirfield recently?
Yes. How did you know that?
I was talking to my good friend, Jack Nicklaus. We're just the Golden Bear and I were.
Let me grab, no, we go out there once a year and yeah. play. Yeah. And it's awesome.
How'd you play?
The first day, 89. The second day, 87.
Did you post those scores?
No.
For those of you at home, that is called sandbagging.
It's called forgetful. It's called when you're too busy, you don't have time to remember. I will go back now That's as a courtesy listen. To you.
It's fine. Well, now you have to. It's documented.
Right. No, I've never played Muirfield.
You've never played?
I have not.
I can change that.
I appreciate it. That would be awesome.
I'm serious. It's
well, I got to meet Jack. Spence, when did I go down that thing? Probably like a month ago. Yeah. We talked about him here. Yeah, we went down and did the thing with Jim Furyk, his golf tournament thing. Yeah. And, It was amazing to meet him, and Benjamin was so excited to meet him. And we got he's like, it's like talking to your grandpa. I mean, he's just so loving and kind. And literally when it was over, he was like, any courses that you want to go to that are mine, you're on. I said,
well, there's one down in the Bahamas you should play. It's called Royal Blue.
Yeah.
And it's at Baja Mar. Have you ever been there? You should try that. It's a Nicklaus design. Anyway, your son.
I played it twice.
Okay. Legend has it. Your son is like really good.
He is very good.
So I know Austin Lemieux's really good at
very, very good.
Allegheny, but your son may be.
Yeah, Austin. Yeah, Austin's a two-time club champ out there.
Wow.
There actually was a funny story which you'd appreciate this one. The guys in the story might not appreciate it as much, but the club championship this year, Neil Walker's paired against Austin in the first round. Well, also got a bye because he won a last
Is Neil
year.
Good?
Neil's not bad. No, Neil's not bad. Neil's a single digit. And so you only play, it's a nine hole, it's nine hole matches, right? And you win, obviously you move on. And so I hear the story. They're on 16 at Allegheny, which is an incredibly hard hole.
Very hard.
They're tied. Okay.
Wait a minute. Neil Walker is tied?
Yes, Neil Walker is tied with Austin.
I had no idea he was that good.
Well, I haven't finished the story yet.
Okay.
He was at 16, and they're tied. And I said to Neil, what were you playing unbelievable? Was he playing bad? What in the world was wrong? He goes, I was playing pretty well, and he wasn't playing that great. I said, Neil, did you just talk his ear off the whole time? He's like, yeah, absolutely. And you know Austin is like, doesn't say a word. So basically Neil is like, da-da-da-da-da-da, like just chatter. And Neil is one of the nicest people you ever meet.
He is.
And Neil is just chatterboxing Austin to death. And I think Austin was so flustered and beat up.
So now
and
that's the secret.
I guess you want to beat Austin, you got to talk. But on like 16, he finally was like, okay, I got to put this guy away. So he ended up winning like two of the next
three. Those are some of the hardest holes to end a golf match with too.
Yeah, they're really hard. But the fact he just was talking his ear off was funny. But anyway.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. I do need to do a quick thank you before we get this started.
Yeah,
besides
man.
Just thanking Bob, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, of course.
But I have a amazing Cinderlands here. Cinderlands has sent quite a few beers. We're very thankful for that. We don't have our beer camera up because we need to tell our we had some people watching was wondering where our beer camera is. We usually have a little spot right here. We don't have one when we have a guest because we're on such a low budget.
Right.
We only have so many cameras. So our guests take the place of our beer cam.
It's a YouTube show, guys. But,
I'm going to fall out of favor real quick there.
Yeah, I'm sure people put this right in front of Bob's face.
Beer cam. I'm drinking the Cinderlands as well.
So we're having Cinderlands and Bob's got Corona. But
Corona for now. Spence said there's going to be some tasting.
Yes. There is.
And by the way, cautionary situation. I have
you're
to go
a wine
back.
Guy,
I am a wine guy, but I have I to go you're back. A wine guy. I love wine.
You're always,
and I also
you're
like just, Louis XIII. I see you have that here.
That is a gift from the lineman, and that is not getting open.
That's wasteful.
You're drinking.
You're never going to
open. I didn't say never, but you're only drinking a little bit. Plus, you have a driver. Plus, you drove. Can I tell people what you arrived in, or can you tell people what car you arrived in, or is that not allowed? Is that not allowed?
It's a station car. It's a station car.
It's a station car. It's a weather.
It's a mobile weather lab.
It's the mobile weather. It's got a satellite dish on.
I just wanted to make sure we were going to have good weather before we came up your driveway, and to make sure everything was good.
But it's got a satellite dish on the top of it,
man.
And also, you should
point out
there were some some deliveries left down, and I decided to pick them up
for you.
You
were very kind and brought my outgoing packages back to the...
Yeah. And so I delivered for you as well.
You did. Thank you. But anyway, thank you to Cinderlands. Thank you to Creekside.
Yes.
As always, you guys have been so thankful. If you need some beer, go down to Creekside. Pick up all kinds of beer. They got everything down there that you need, that you're looking for. So thanks again to Creekside for all your help and delivering beers to us.
Yeah, they're awesome. And the selection's amazing. And the people are dope. What more do you need when purchasing a nice cold beverage?
No. You can get them cold, you can get them warm, you can get whatever you want.
Are we going to do this later? We're going to try something?
Oh, we're going to try them right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we're jumping in.
No, so, I'm just saying, I got to go back and be on the news, so I don't want a train wreck at 11.
Oh,
if you
no.
do that for me, you're going to have problems.
Oh, relax.
No.
This game hasn't started yet.
Look at these little guys. Look at these little guys.
Well, I'm a lightweight to begin with, so that'll help.
We understand you're a wino. Or, I mean, excuse me, you like wine. You like wine.
I do like wine.
You like wine.
Connoisseur.
We can't, you know, Charlie is a wine guy. He did beer. Merrill doesn't drink beer. He did beer. So we can't.
Charlie told me he's not going to deviate. He wanted wine.
And that's why we can't have you be the first person to change that. So
it's true.
You're on this show. This is not the Bob Pompiani show. You know what we wanted to do? We did have a plan. We did have one production meeting. We almost
you call it a production meeting.
we almost did a thing where we're gonna just see how many different ways we can mispronounce your name on purpose and just see if people like just.
Well, I'll hear about it 1,000 times over. But you know what? We've had people call you Rothenberger. Oh, well, I mean, you've heard it all too, right?
I don't care either. No, I know you don't. It's other people.
Yeah, everybody sitting here has a difficult to pronounce last name. Well,
wait a minute, Spence is only known as Spence. What are you?
No, Teo, like Manti.
Oh, you're a Manti.
But it's Teo. I've gotten Toe, Tao. It's three letters and an apostrophe.
Are you related to Manti?
Not that I know of, but I don't know many other Teos.
So. all right, Spence, get us going. What's the first one?
So, Bob, we've covered you're not a beer guy.
I'll drink beer though.
Okay. Do you have one that you like? Like if you're going to go have a beer, you prefer a lighter beer, darker beer? I know you're drinking a Corona here.
Corona guy.
Okay. All right. And you might like this one. I wanted to start you off easy. So what happened was we sampled a beer from a brewery called Epic out of Salt Lake City, Utah. All right. This beer was a double jam stout. It was darker than midnight. And it was not our favorite, Bob. It wasn't the best thing we've ever tasted.
And we talked about it on the show.
And yeah, we gave that opinion to the public. So they were kind enough to reach out and say, hey, you know what?
You were honest as a taste tester and they responded to your honesty.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was a stout, which I don't like stout. So it was very unfair. I'm sure it's a great stout.
Yeah.
And we do tell people
it's a great stout.
But I don't like stouts at all because I don't like coffee.
Yeah.
I don't like licorice. And those are what they taste like.
Yeah. Kiesel loved it. Kiesel, I mean, he enjoyed it.
Spectacular.
So
Kiesel strikes me as he'd be very accommodating with anything.
He was also eating a wrap. What was he doing?
Yeah.
So anyway, Epic reached out and was like, hey guys, give us another shot. Here are some redemption beers. We'll send you some. So they sent us some other beers for us to try. So we can get a little taste test of what else they brew. This one is called Los Locos. It's a Mexican style lager. So it's
Locos.
Yeah, it's very similar to the Corona that you're drinking right now.
There you go.
I think a little side by side.
There we go. All right. So it is a bright golden lager inspired by the warm sun and white sand beaches of the Gulf. This easy sipping beer has just a hint of
beach guy.
Malt sweetness.
Absolutely. Malt sweetness.
Beach. Yeah.
You think my sand game would be better because I love beaches and it's not. I'm in the sand traps and I'm trying. I like this though.
Yeah.
It smells good.
Well, how do you compare that to your Corona there, Mom?
Well, it's going to be tricky because you probably drink Coronas all the time.
I do, but I like that.
Yeah.
I'm endorsing this. Epic. Yes, I like it.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go, Epic.
All right, Seb. What do you think? See, Ben's got the technique down.
Wait a minute.
He aerates it like a wine.
You're supposed to do that for wine, not necessarily beer.
Ooh. Are you a beer connoisseur?
I'm a wine connoisseur. You don't do that for beer.
Do you have a chug beer? Do you have a beer tasting show?
Oh,
I do.
Oh, got him.
Over 30,000 subscribers. Cheers.
There we go. It is very good.
This is very good.
Let me try your technique. You can swoosh it around like a...
Mm-hmm. You got to let it breathe. You got to look at the bubbles in there. That's really good.
A little lime?
It does have a limey taste
like
to
that.
It. Yeah, I like it
a lot. Can I see the can, Spence?
Yeah, of course you can.
After you give yourself a
little. No, you're good.
Epic. Los Locos.
Epic Brewing.
You totally redeemed yourself.
Awesome. Well done.
It's very good.
Yeah, I like it.
Style lager.
It's right on my alley when it comes
lime
to
lime and sea salt added. I missed that part. I heard you the say lime, salt? But lime and sea salt added.
Yeah. I don't taste that.
It's from Salt Lake City.
You don't taste the
that's a
the
lake salt, water? I guess, at that point.
No.
It's like when you're, this is, you know what this is like, Bob? This would be like when they, when you're on the beach and you're hanging out and that big wave comes and goes into your Corona a little bit and then you drink it. So it's kind of the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. I've had that happen to me.
That's well, that's what's like, what's but going on there.
I have wine at the beach. I'm the only guy.
You drink wine on the beach?
It's the only person I know. Like I sit down there sometimes and then people are looking like, what are you doing? But I was also, I'm going to tell a little story. You know, Tom Grealish, you know, Tommy, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So he and I were the only people went to WWE match once with a bottle of Cabernet.
So that sounds like an amazing night.
That is an amazing night. Yes. We had a good time.
Bob, are you the guy, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, are you the guy at the beach that lays there with like the reflective thing?
No, I won't do that.
Nothing like that?
No, I used to. Yeah. But I learned my lesson. I had a little cancer issue with skin cancer.
Well, so there we go.
I learned my issue there. So
What SPF do you recommend?
Like 1,000, whatever you can. 1,000.
Whatever they give the
this
cast.
This is my built-in excuse for never showing my body off. I lay at the beach and I go in the water with something on. I just do not, you know.
You have the shirt. You wear the shirt.
I'm a sportscaster. I'm not a Hall of Fame quarterback, so I cannot show you.
I don't want to be seen.
You know, that's.
There's nothing wrong with that. I just didn't. So you're a water shirt kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's smart. But there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm serious. I've had cancer surgery on it, so I'm not messing around with that stuff.
Protect yourself. Yeah. Do you do the spray or the lotion?
I like lotion.
Yeah.
Do you leave the nose
like the nose extra white?
Oh yeah. Have to.
The full face white or
you're,
just the
you're
nose?
You're laughing at that. No, most everything. Ears too. I mean, I got to do it.
I'm happy you're protecting yourself and everyone else out there should too. I'm just laughing. If I walk down the beach, I'm imagining seeing you on the beach
with a glass of wine.
What's your beach wine? Your go-to beach wine? What do you take?
Oh, it depends. Okay. You know, like for example, Pui Fuse.
Come again? Pui Fuse what?
Pui Fuse, you've never had it? You should try it. It's good.
It sounds delightful, but.
Is that a meal? That's a wine?
What is it? Old Country? What is that?
It is a red wine, but okay. It has a different taste. It's sort of like.
Is that fruit in it?
It does. A little. I'm not sure exactly what's in it. It just has a lighter taste.
Oh, it's like sangria.
No,
that's what we talk
about. That's a beach wine. You ask for a beach wine. Yeah. That's it.
What's your beach of choice? You go Florida, California.
Beach. I mean, we've been all over.
Some beach.
We're just in the Bahamas. I love that.
Yeah.
You know? I'll try to. We do things so there are golf courses available.
Of course.
And you got to have that. So
just going to some beach.
Just going to some beach, man. I'm talking about. Hey.
Anyway, all right. Sorry.
This episode is great. We've already talked about lotion.
I need a follow up.
We had totally.
I got Jeremy. My producer here just going to have to drive the weather changer home because I'm not going to be in.
Yeah, listen, this is already our greatest episode. Hands down.
I like that. Well done.
All right, so Bob, well out of 10, how would you rate that beer?
I would say 8, but that's a good grade.
Yeah. What about you there, Ben?
I like that a lot. I could drink that. Whenever.
Yeah.
Like that's a mowing the grass. That's sitting by the pool. That's hanging out.
Some beach.
Some beach somewhere. I'd go 8 with that one.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I will say we had another like Mexican style lager from Stone, the Buena Vesa. I actually like Epics better. I think, I'd give that like an 8.5.
That's one of the best. That's one of the better.
Yes.
If not one of the best.
All right.
Beers like that for sure.
Epic. Thank you for holding it down. We appreciate you.
Touchdown.
Thanks, Epic. Yeah.
Awesome. Go buy this if you don't.
Yeah, if you can find it. Yeah, that, hopefully that's everywhere. I'd like to get more of that.
Yeah. Hey, Epic. Yeah. You want to send some more of that?
Do you want me to deliver it next time I'm here? I'll just
Send it to Bob.
I'll bring it over.
amazing.
All right. We got to like get into some.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a couple people that have asked me, like my friends have asked me questions to ask you on like, full-fledged Pittsburghers like for life, right?
Okay.
But I would, and it's like a good sports questions, but I want to know, like, I don't even know, when was your first, like, when did you get started here in Pittsburgh?
Oh, like, 1982. I'm 40 years now into this. So yeah, I started in 1982.
When I was born, I know that. Yeah. I was wondering.
I know that. So I've been doing it for a long time.
Wow.
And it's fun. And actually it started because I knew that I could talk a lot faster than I can run. I had aspirations for being an athlete and those quickly were realized by me that that was going to happen. I wanted to be a golfer, actually. Years ago. Golfer was my thing. That was my thing. I had two open heart surgeries when I was younger.
Really?
Yep. Just strep throat, which can affect young kids. As a father of young kids, too, you should watch out because that's a virus that affects heart valves.
Really?
And it did mine. And so I had at 17 get the first of two. And when they crack your sternum, it changes your golf game.
I can imagine.
And your approach to it. So.
Wow, two open heart surgeries.
Yep.
Is that like a low-known fact or most people know that?
I don't go out and talk too much about it.
That's
really how I got into this, because my father told me at that point, you're 17 years old, your whole life's crumbling around. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I couldn't do it. So he said, you know, you love sports. You got a good voice. You should look into sports broadcasting if you can, or anything, you know, sports related. I said, it's a good idea. So I did.
And that's a cool stuff. And your dad told you that when you were 17?
Yeah, 17, when I was going after the first surgery.
And so you just, from that moment, you went on and you went with it?
Oh, I did. I was like, there were local stations, WNBA in Ambridge, WVVP in Beaverville. I would beg those guys to let me on as a high school kid. You know, I would bring donuts to their door at night. I'd leave it, say, hey, this is from me. Give me a chance.
Man, hustling.
That's awesome.
So
you're from here?
Yeah, from Hopewell Township.
Yep. I didn't know.
What? 40
Tony,
years.
It was Tony Dorsett back in the day. But here's a story about Tony Dorsett you may not know. It's not Dorsett, Hall of Famer, tremendous. When he was at Hopewell, there was a basketball game in which somebody lost their contact lens and nobody could find it except he did. And he got a nickname, the Hawk, from that incident, you know, that he found out like from 15 feet away. It's over there. Look, and they called him Hawk, like Hawkeye, but Hawk. And then
who would have known?
So I watched a lot of his high school, and he knew he was going to be a superstar. He just had that ability. Yeah.
In high school, just a stud even in high school.
Yeah, totally stud. And then he goes to Pitt, does what he does there, NFL. I mean, he did it all.
That's wild.
So you were obviously a big Steeler fan, obviously, from here. Like the 70s, like you were a big Steelers, or were you Pirates more? Fans? Like, what was your, what was your team?
The Pirates were good.
Right. So I'm wondering, what was the team when you were growing up?
Both. The winners.
Yeah.
You know? Like Chip Ganassi always says, I like winners. Winners are fun to follow because you get involved in it, and that's the biggest attachment you can have to a team, I think. Yeah. So we've been lucky in this town. You guys did a lot of winning, and the Penguins have done, and the Pirates did. Hopefully they will again, because that would make it interesting in the summertime.
Well, so that'll lead to one of my dear friends, Chris Canole's question. He wants to know, in your opinion, which is the best team that you've ever seen?
The best team. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
So whether you covered them, whether you watched them, like who had the best, whether it was best core group of guys or best, maybe the big three was.
Well, I'm going to defer to hockey here, even though I respect because your teams are great. But that Lemieux team with Tockett and Francis and Jager and all the people they had on it, they should have won three in a row. And that was when they got knocked out because of David Volek in a game seven. At the Civic Arena, the old Civic Arena. But, I mean, they were so poised to go on even a longer run. Hmm. So you don't see many teams that are going to win three in a row.
Yeah.
Even better than the ones in 16 and 17 that won two in a row, I think. Because they had so many answers, so many people. Kevin Stevens was like just a massive man who can score 40 goals. They had Robbie Brown coming into play. You know, a lot of crazy people. Jeez.
See, I don't even know. Like, I mean, obviously I don't know all those teams.
Yeah, but your teams are pretty good. It was fun to watch your teams.
No, I mean, obviously, I just don't remember. I mean, obviously, I know Mario and know how great he was, obviously. But I don't. I watched him a little bit, but not in those times when he was.
I still maintain, even though Wayne Gretzky has all the records, if Mario had been healthy the whole time and not with his back issues, I think he would have been right up there with Wayne Gretzky. I thought he's the most talented player I've ever seen in hockey.
And for how big he was, right? Because he's a big man.
He can do so many things on the ice that with his reach. Unprecedented at the time.
It would have been fun to watch him in his the heyday.
It's pretty awesome.
There you go.
I mean, Crosby in his own right is going to be one of the top five in the game. But Mario was different. You know, how tall are you?
6'5".
Okay, he's 6'4" or 6'5", whatever he was, and he was able to
put him up another.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Huge.
So.
That's cool. That's a good there you go, wild. Chris.
Yeah. So 40 years. How have you seen sports in Pittsburgh change over the course of those 40 years?
In what respect? And
just, I mean, it could be culture. It could be the winning teams. Obviously talking about how the Pirates, you know, had a run when they were good. And now we've been struggling for what seems like forever. You know, I moved here, what, almost 10 years ago. I don't remember them ever being great, right. You know.
Or so. You saw a little bit of their 3 years where they put something together.
Sure, it was fun to watch.
That was fun. I hope they get back to that because there's, you know, in the summertime, it's great to watch baseball. Yeah. You're a three-sport guy. You probably, the baseball, if you see well-played baseball, it's pretty good. But
well, our stadium's unbelievable, too.
Right.
I mean, it just, and the fans want They want them to be great. Yeah. It's like,
well, they've done enough drafting and brought in players. We'll see. Hopefully that'll change. But I think the one thing that's changed is I think players are different. Mm. You know, it's a different culture. Like we were just, Jared, our producer, and I were talking about this coming in here. You know, you could get to know people back in the day a little bit easier than it is today just because there aren't many boundary or there aren't many walls separating you. You know what I mean? People, there are handlers, there are PR people now, there are all these people. If you wanted to get to know somebody, and I think it came down to trust too, you know, guys had to trust you if they're going to tell you stuff, talk to you, you know, become somewhat friendly. So that's harder to do today just because of the amount of media there is.
Sure.
All the people around and the fact that social media has come into play. I think that's probably the biggest change.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like...
Which, by the way, can I just say
this? Of course.
I need you to do a TikTok with me. Since we're talking social media.
That's why you came on the show.
Is hell frozen over? What happened?
I'll make it very easy on you. It's a simple dance move.
I'm not dancing.
Yes. Yes. Simple. He said he'll do it. I just heard him. He said he'd do it. One dance move. Come on.
I got a bad knee.
Okay.
Bob was with TikTok. That is hilarious. I want to see this so bad.
He said, hold on.
I try.
I need you to do a TikTok. Bob, you're on TikTok?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you dance on TikTok? You do the dances? Yeah.
I do a little.
Jared's
like, yes, laughing, he does. But I try.
Do you enjoy it?
I've got, you know, 40 years doing this where I am right now. I really don't care what people think. I've gotten to that point.
You're my hero.
Whatever it is.
You're my hero.
This is what I'm going to do. If you don't like it, don't like it. If you like it, that's fine. But it's also an interesting way to sort of connect to people in a different way. So
that's crazy. I never would have thought in a million
years. I'm so happy you asked that question. As someone who's in sports media, obviously love sports, played sports. What do you think about athletes having... ironically enough, having their own control of their own narrative through their, whether it be podcasts,
I think it's good if they do it right. I think it's bad if not.
Sure.
You know, I think there's so much stuff that spreads. It's, you know, it comes from who knows where. They're fake accounts. That's what I hate most about it. You never know what you're really reading.
Yeah.
And if it's right, if it's wrong, do you believe it? Do you rush to judgment? That's the other thing that's changed, Spence, to be honest with you. People are rushing to judgment to try to get stuff on first instead of maybe the right way. Sometimes you don't have to be first as long as you're right with it.
Tell them, Bob.
That's the way it should be.
Tell them. Who do you think, have you seen, let me ask this first, have you seen any of the like current players podcasts that they do, whether it be, I know Von Miller has one.
I've seen some. I think Ryan Clark has a pretty good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, those are the big advantage, and you certainly have this advantage too, is that you can get connections with people who most other people can't. You know, I can't reach out to certain people
like
that you have.
Like you, Bob.
Huh?
We got you.
I do. I use all kinds of.
You know what I'm saying, though. You have all these people you've met over, the, and you can call upon them to do it, and you can reveal conversations that most people would never see.
Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah,
and so it's a platform that you should utilize, and I'm sure you will because you like beer and get a lot of free beer delivered to you.
That was the only.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That was the only reason why we started this. Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. You want to jump to this next beer?
Yeah, let's get to another one.
Yeah, so basically how the show goes, Bob, is that we sample three beers throughout the course of it, all right? Mm-hmm. So we did a nice light one to start us off with. And all of these beers have actually been sent in by viewers of the show. So Epic obviously saw that when we did theirs. This next one here, I will grab this real quick, is from Miami, Florida.
Ooh.
All right. It is from a viewer of the show named Daniel Saley. So thank you so much, Daniel, for sending
this
in.
Daniel.
It is from Florida Avenue Brewing Company. And it is a tangerine splash fruited wheat ale. Yes.
Tangerine splash.
Yes, sir.
Did you say rooted?
Fruited.
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 Yes. So I'll pour this up and I'll send it down. Right. Now that we have proper technique from...
He just ran the punter over. That was...
I'll explain that, Ben.
We're watching Monday Night Football. Eagles almost
undefeated.
Commanders, right?
Commanders.
Yeah. And the Eagles just punted. And the punter's getting up. His shoulder pads are sticking out of his jersey. He just got run over. I don't mean to laugh at special teams.
Well, guys,
I laugh because I've got such a good relationship with all like special teams guys. I think they're the best. Like I love Bob's. I got to see Bob's for the game. But the fact that, I mean, this guy got run because they don't look boom, bam. Oh,
if you're going to follow him, you may as well follow him.
You got to go right hard. No, it's just,
and you're really prone at that point. You know, it's coming and there's nothing you can do.
And I just know because they don't, And I mean this in the most lovingest, kindest way, but they don't practice the same as us. Obviously, they're on their own field. They kick for a little while. They go inside. So when you actually see a guy get hit and his shoulder pad's sticking out, that's the first time that guy's been hit in how long? Like a year, maybe 2 years, three. I mean, it's so. And he got up, so it's funny.
That's why, you know, those guys. That's funny. It takes me back to the Sweetsum injury in that Hall of Fame game.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah.
I always told him, "What are you doing making a tackle? Especially in a game like that." I guess it's instinct.
And yeah, you can't help it.
But still, that's
Wow. Very next play, sack, fumble, turnover. Eagles. I don't know if they'll go undefeated, but they're a pretty good team.
They're a pretty good team. So, do you ever want to do this, like, as a profession? Oh, no, let me ask you this.
Drink beer and
Drink beer.
Is that a job?
Play golf?
Is that a job?
I mean TV analysis, you know? Someone's called you and say, "Hey, we want Ben."
Is that a job? Is that a job offer?
Well, I mean, I'd offer that to you right now if you want to take it. I think I've been doing that. Largely ignored.
You know, I don't want to go away from I don't want to be away from the family. Like, I love being here with the family. So I don't, like, and I know that you couldn't. I mean, I guess if you did something locally, you could do it. But, like, to do games or to do that kind of stuff, like, that doesn't intrigue me right now. I'm enjoying coaching my son's fourth grade basketball team. I'm enjoying golfing with them. I enjoy going horse riding with my daughter. Like, those things are too much fun for me to do anything like that, you know?
Tom Brady was offered $320 million by Fox.
But you know what? I love my family too much.
No, I'm just saying that's like something like that came around.
But I don't mean I probably, you know, everything we say.
Say Tom doesn't.
No, Tom does.
I'm sure he does, and that's not the issue. But the issue is I'm just saying that kind of money is available. Not that you'd be great, motivated.
No, it doesn't. It's not about that for me. It's about to me, time spent with family is priceless.
Yeah,
you can't put a, I agree. A like. To be with my kids, who my son's birthday. So this, here you go. Perfect example. Ready? My son's birthday is next week, Monday. Okay. He's going to be 10. So this weekend, it's a huge birthday. So this weekend is like they're doing something on Friday. They're going to someplace on Friday. Then Saturday he's having like 5-on-5 football here at the house. Flag football. I'm the all-time quarterback and official. You know, water bottles. I mean, it's eye black. I mean, you know, it's going to be the whole thing. Okay. I wouldn't get to do that if I was playing or calling a game or doing something like that. And so to me, to have to miss my son's football, like to be all-time quarterback, to do that with those kids, 10 kids running around and then we're going to the game Sunday.
Yeah.
Like those things.
No, they're priceless. You're right.
So,
and as you get older, you appreciate them even more, and you don't want to miss them when you can. So that's I respect that. I mean, that's a great way to go. But I'll ask this next question because I know your answer, but you get it called all the time. People say, "Put Ben, bring him in the booth, be an offensive coordinator. He can call plays." Mm-hmm. And I answer that for you, saying there's no way he'd do that given the time commitment for the same reason you just said, right?
Correct.
No way.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Now that I have that answer, nobody should call our show and ask that anymore.
I'm saving myself some work. Yes.
What are we drinking? This is the
It's a fruited wheat ale.
Tangerine rooted wheat.
Yeah. Nailed it. It's tangerine splash fruited wheat ale. Its flavor profile is balanced citrus with tangerine and chamomile. Zesty tangerine citrusy fruitness with a refreshingly crisp and dry finish. It is 5% alcohol. There is no IBU, which, Bob, in case you're unaware, IBU is a measurement to tell you how bitter it's going to be. And
that's,
there's
that's
not one
his favorite thing he tells everybody.
IBU.
Hey, someone had to tell us. We didn't know what it was.
I like that, Spence. That's good.
Open source here on
so
football.
You said chamomile also? You mentioned that.
This is a balanced citrus with tangerine.
Wheat, chamomile, tangerine, everything.
Chamomile, yep. Zesty, tangerine, citrusy fruitness. My favorite thing about these flavor profiles for this beer is like, I feel like they're trying to hit a high score on how many adjectives they can use to describe the beer. But pretty good.
I like it.
Pretty good. I don't typically like
wheat
beers because I feel like they all taste like bubble gum. But I also have a Florida bias.
I like that, but I like the little What's it called?
The Los Locos.
Los Locos. I like that one a little bit better.
I like the Los Locos better as well, but this is very good.
It's very good, yeah.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Saley. Or sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name. Yeah. But thank you for watching and for sending that in. It's very good.
Thank you, Dan.
How would you rate that, Bob, out of 10?
Out of 10? 7.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Pretty confident about that. Most people aren't confident about the answers because
I've already, in my mind. Very good. I mean, the chamomile took it from a 6 to a 7. I like chamomile.
There you go, Florida Ave. What's up?
Well done. Yeah, thank you, Florida Avenue. I like that.
What about you, Ben?
One more, just a little sip.
Yeah. I mean, did you aerate it properly? Are you getting enough air?
I feel like I did. Okay. I'm. It's not quite as good as the last one.
Okay.
But it is very good. I could drink that anytime. So I like that a lot.
Even sound effects with it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, that confirms his status as a connoisseur. Like you got to do stuff like that.
That's, I like that a lot.
Very good.
Yeah, I'll give that a 7.
All right. Oh, okay. 7.5. All right. I like that. Yeah.
I could drink that.
Yeah. We'll go 3 sevens. I'll give it a 7.2. Sure. Why not?
Slot machine.
Hey. So, yeah, Daniel, awesome. Florida Avenue Brewing Appreciate Company. It. Tangerine Splash. Very good. Not bad at all. So I think it's probably important for us, if we have the man, the myth, the legend here, we need to jump into
the game.
Yeah, the game.
Bo, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, hit him with it. Hold up. Oh, no, you need wide.
Smith, I keep going. Crocs are back on, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
I apologized last week to Crocs for not wearing them.
Oh.
But they're back on. Oh.
We also have this.
Yes, Spence. Oh. Hit him with it. Is that a football hat?
Which one? This one here?
For who made that one?
This one here? Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, this one here. That's a football
hat. That's a football hat.
That is a football hat.
This show.
It is from this show.
So you can get that hat. Listen, man, you watch the show?
I'm telling you right now, if you're watching this right now, you can go buy this hat.
Look at that.
I know that for a fact.
You know.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So,
all right. Multiple colors or just that color?
It's really just this color. We got a small operation here. But
Bob, yeah. Bob, we told you. We're very small here.
We don't got KDKA's budget.
I had hoped we go to the golf simulator and had a couple of shots.
We're going to have you on again, and we're going to do it. We're going to have it set. Once our production gets a little bigger,
okay.
Yeah.
We're going to have cameras set up on there, and then we're going to play like a little three-hole match or something.
Okay? We could do that. Do a little charity money involved. You can...
Listen, you backed out of the last time money was involved.
I did, because it was way out of my pay scale. I mean, you guys are playing for money. I don't.
I don't even have a salary right now. So
Ben's unemployed.
I'm unemployed right now. We talked about this.
That's why we need you to buy this hat.
Yes.
Full circle. Yeah. Callback.
Shameless plug. That's a good one. Timely.
No, I would like to. I would love. While we have you here, just to talk, because obviously this last weekend was a big game. Saints came in. The Steelers needed this one.
Yeah,
they absolutely had to have it. Coming off the bye, Saints are on the short week. Saints are struggling a little bit, but it doesn't matter. You got to win it. But before I get into the actual game, Heath Miller being honored. I don't think it's ever been anyone that watches this or has ever heard me talk to you or to anybody knows how I feel about Heath. Hmm. To me, one of the greatest Steelers of all time in terms of just player, teammate, probably interview, like just everything he did. He was a consummate professional, did everything the right way. And I think he, you know, obviously the fans love him, the Heath chants, all that stuff. I mean, when like four tight ends after you catch a ball and they still say Heath.
They still did it.
That's still.
Even for Muth, they were doing Heath.
But now I think Muth finally got his own thing going. But the fact of the matter is just what an amazing guy. I mean, I can't say enough about that man and what he is. And the speech he gave, the Hall of Fame thing, had all of us in tears. It was unbelievable. Yeah. It was special.
And he's just, you're right about the generosity. Local organizations, a glimmer of hope. He and his wife, mm-hmm. Katie, got involved with the Fanicas. All that's good. But also, to me, he strikes me as the toughest guy. Mm. I remember that hit in Baltimore where I thought, well, how does he get up from that?
He was dead.
And he did.
Yeah.
But he reminded me of your nose in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And he said he couldn't remember ever seeing a nose like that when he went back to the huddle. Because we talked to him this weekend as well. He said that was...
He told that story on here and he was like, I couldn't look you in the face.
He couldn't see you. Did you have any idea your nose was that rearranged at the time?
No, I didn't. Well, I same thing. I told the story. I said, I went to Doc Bradley and said, Doc, like my nose feels a little off. He's like, he goes, he says, well, I can't really tell. We'll take a look at halftime. Like, yeah, just kind of like give me one of those. And I go into halftime. My nose was plastered to my cheek. I'm like, really, doc? Really, doc? He's like, well, I didn't want to worry you out there.
Like, you didn't feel it? No pain?
I mean, yeah, it hurt, but what am I going to do?
Just keep playing.
Yeah, I got to go. I didn't even miss one play, Bob.
I know. That's what he said. He said, because I always thought he was one of the toughest guys I've ever seen play football.
He is. He is.
But he deferred it back to you with that specific hello, Dinata.
He would.
Yeah, he would. He's a good guy. I missed playing for him. People ask me, you know, greatest receiver, and people always say, I'm going to say a receiver, but tight end's a receiver. That guy caught everything. I told the story. They said when he dropped the ball, it was like the practice was like what just happened? And then we'd laugh at him because he'd get so mad. He'd spike the ball or do something. But I saw today someone put out like a 3-minute clip of Heath's top 5 or 10 plays or whatever it was. And it was just like I thought every touchdown he caught. He caught one touchdown and got smashed by like 4 guys and just gets up and is like, hands the ball and starts hugging his guys. Like that's what you love about that guy. But one of the many things. So anyway, it was fun to be there with him pregame. Matt Spaeth was down there. Some of the guys were down there to see the players before and everything. But just to be on the field again with him was pretty cool.
Yeah. I was glad for Lewis Lips, too, you know, to get that opportunity.
I never get to watch Louis. Louis was obviously a pretty good player, right?
I remember.
Right?
Oh, man. His first year, punt returns.
Was he just like a little scatty, like real quick shifty?
He was the first round pick who never thought he was going to make the roster. I've never seen that or heard that from someone. But he always ran scared of that, you know, he came into a team that had John Stallworth on it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys who, you know, have already established a lot of stuff. So as a first round pick, he said, I don't know if I'll make the roster. So he decided to, you know, he was a good special teams guy. In his first year, he was the best special teams guy in the NFL for like 5 years with numbers that he put up. So
really?
That's how it started.
So he did that first and then went to receiver. Yeah, I mean, like kind of played more receiver.
Yeah, but he also had a lot of touchdowns in his first year as a receiver, too. He was really good. But
so was he fast or just real shifty? Like, you know, like Antoine Randall was not like
a
blazer.
Deep guy.
He was a deep guy.
Lewis
can
do it. I think what year was his? In 1984, when he came into the league, he made life easier for John Stallworth. If you look at the numbers, Stallworth had some of his best numbers in Lewis's because of the ability to create
space.
See
that all the time.
Yeah. So
are you one of those guys, Bob, that can remember like kind of like, oh, I remember in 86. Third game of the year. It was,
you know, it's funny. I remember a lot of stuff that you would think you'd forget.
Yeah.
Like if my wife gave me a list to go to Giant Eagle and I forget half the things she would tell me anyway, I'd have to call her 3 times and say, what aisle is this? What am I doing?
Oh, but I will remember the question you asked Terry Bradshaw.
I remember a 3-wood that I hit at Nevwood, number 12 into the green that rolled about 6 feet away. It's the only time I've hit that green in 2. I remember the wind conditions. I missed the putt, but it was a valiant effort. I remember it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm sure you do too.
I remember a lot of golf. I don't remember. I'm not good with football games. Like I say this all the time and it blows people's minds.
Your own?
Yes.
Oh.
Like the pass to Santonio Holmes for the winner. I couldn't tell you one thing about that play. Like I couldn't tell you like what the play call was, the name of it. I just know that he should have caught the play before. It was an easier catch. And I remember throwing it. And forgetting that we only needed a field goal, like stupid throw.
There were 3 guys right around it too.
But I
thought that throw was.
I couldn't tell you the name of that play though. Like I just can't do it. And I always laugh when we had Charlie on here because Charlie is that guy. Just like he's like, oh, I remember, you know, back in, you know, 2006 in the second quarter, it was 3rd and 5, and we called this play. And I'm like, what? Chuck, how do you do that? But that's just not that way. But anyway,
so I'm gonna ask you this: you're the guy who made the throw. Better throw, better catch. Because I think both are equally good.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that window was so small.
I don't know if you pick. If you watch what I had to throw it, but he had to do both the feet and the hands. Like he kind of had a 2-parter in him.
Yeah, feet was unbelievable.
It was spectacular. It was unbelievable play.
Yeah, so terrific. Historic. In a game that has so many of those kind of plays, it was unbelievable.
Crazy. But anyway, let's get to the Saints game. I don't really. What did you think of, I guess, first off, Kenny's performance? And you might have already said this. You can repeat it if you need some of the news.
I said I sort of grade on a curve just because I think as rookies, that's a tough job. You would know that. Obviously, you went through that. But I can't imagine that job as a rookie coming in with expectations as they are. So I thought, you know, first half, there were some things probably not as sharp. But I thought the second half, he got better, didn't make mistakes. engineered two pretty good drives. The run game certainly helped, and I was glad to see that. I know Cowher and Hoke, man, Chris Hoke harps on our set all the time about a run game. Commit to the run. He's slamming his hands. And for a young quarterback, I think you went through that. That's important to have, and I'm glad to see they did it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with those guys to a certain extent. I think that they've tried to run it over and over and over the last few weeks. I think they've been running into a brick wall. And at some point, what's the point of what they say, fighting town hall or run your head into the wall? Like, at some point, you got to try something different.
Right.
I would say this. The first play of the game, he had Deontay Johnson for a 75-yard touchdown. Deontay Johnson on the right side, he ran a go ball. And he tried to hit Pat on the crossing.
Okay.
If he hits that or throws it out there and completes that, now all of a sudden we're not talking about running the ball. We're talking about, oh, they took shots down the field. He did take shots down the field. He hit Deontay later. He missed Deontay on a deep crosser later, too.
I saw that one. I didn't see the first
play. First play of the game. He had Deontay one-on-one, no safety. And I don't know, you know, sometimes it's like a what we call a check. May not be the first read, it's a check. Okay. Then you have 1, 2, 3. But I was sitting with Charlie when he came down, and we talked about it because he saw it, too. And I said, Chuck, I said, that's one. Like, you knew going into the game, this was our first play. You knew that's what you're going to have. And you knew that he was running the go ball. You knew he was running the go route. He should have, and you see that single high safety or safety coming down, he should have thought, oh boy, I'm letting this ball go right now, whether it's complete or not. Even if he threw it 10 yards over his head, you just set the tone for the Saints. Like, oh man, what are we doing today?
That would have set a tone.
What are we doing today? Like, that would have made them all back up, be cautiously optimistic the rest of the time. But I thought overall he played well. I thought his feet were awesome. Running the ball, I think 50 yards, I don't know what his total was,
but 51, that really sometimes helped. He ran himself into trouble too.
He did.
Right.
But
that's part of it.
You've got to have that.
Yeah.
As a young guy, when sometimes I did that, when the first read's not there, okay. Sometimes you go to two, sometimes you're like, let me get out of here. Now he's a little different than me. I would run to throw. He's running to run, which because he's a better runner than I am though. So
but you created so much time. It was in your heyday. That was pretty, I look a lot of Josh Allen and see you.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have said that, I'm sure, but not yesterday when he threw two interceptions. But I big guy who can do that, but you did. You created. I gave, your receivers, that's a tough job.
It is.
When you're starting to.
Well, even harder for the linemen. The linemen having to block that long and stuff. So.
No, I thought overall was, it was a good performance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's great. I certainly think he has a lot, but he's learning, and I think this experience will help him.
In my opinion, and we talked about this on this show early on, I didn't think he should have played this early, or I don't think he should have played as early as he did. This would have been the first week
that's I probably would have played him. I think that was the thinking going
into this. So if they would have gone off my advice, he'd be 1-0. Because he would have won against
like
Eagles.
We're a broadcaster. I know you guys are going to get sucked into this.
I
understand what you're saying because it is a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And I thought Trubisky, given what he came in to do, he was doing fine for that.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think they just, for whatever reason, was it the Jets game? Yeah, at halftime, he made the switch and it worked. I mean, he did give him a spark. There's no question. Mm-hmm. But once you go there, I think as a rookie quarterback, number one pick, you're going to stick to him.
Can't go back, which they're doing the right thing now. They got to keep going. But speaking of Pat, on the Beaver County commercial, I love seeing Pat.
Oh, yes.
Beaver.
Oh, come on, Pat. Pat's out here selling cars. Get it, Pat.
I know.
Pat Fryerman. I didn't even know he did one of those.
Oh, yeah. He does the Beaver County auto.
Is he a natural?
No, he's so nervous. He's so nervous up there.
Hey, I'll buy a car from you, Pat.
Yeah. Let's look at him. What do we say?
I love like, that. They got a legit beaver?
Yeah,
got
a little beaver in there back and it's moved. Anyway.
That is amazing.
But it was a good game all around for the guys, too. Like I said, to get that win. This will be a big one this week.
This is, they beat him once before. The Watt situation is intriguing to me, how much he means to that defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone knows what he is, tremendous player. But I never knew that he meant that much. I thought when he was gone, they'd be able to navigate. And they did a couple times, but I mean, mostly they weren't the same.
So do you think, from watching it as much as you have from your perspective and being around it, do you think, he's arguably the best defensive player in the game. There's no doubt about that. But as a rush guy, an end, does he change the game that much? Does he win or lose games? How many points is that guy giving you?
I think he certainly makes everyone around him better.
So it's more about what he brings, less about the natural. Well,
even yesterday, his line wasn't all that good. He had four tackles. He wasn't somebody who you looked at and said, oh, he dominated the game. No, what he did, though, was bring a lot of energy and I think a lot of focus.
Attention, yeah. He brings a lot of attention.
Focus happens, right? Now, all of a sudden, other guys, and this goes for defensive backs as well. The pressure component, you know.
Ball's got to get out because they're worried about it.
Right, and so it helps them. It's just a trickle-down effect, so... I think he's that important. And if he stays healthy, I think they could go on a little bit of a run here.
I would love.
So it would be fun to see them get back into it.
I would love for TJ. How many? He missed seven. 7 games.
They were 1-6.
Could you imagine if he came back and still won Defensive Player of the Year? I don't know who's killing on the defense right now, but could you imagine like he just comes on? Like,
well,
just
Micah Parsons is probably still. He's been terrific. He's a stud. Boast all those guys.
But still, it'd be he's
no, he is. He got snubbed that 1 year.
The year before that.
Yeah. The year before.
No, I think if you had to, you know, he won't win, well, maybe he will, MVP of the team. But I would say if you want to know who the MVP of the team is, just look at their record without him and what he means when he's not there. So,
well, sometimes too that, you know, that award is skewed a little bit, in my opinion, because they sometimes that award goes to the guy that maybe is like, the has the biggest stats or whatever. In my opinion, like Pouncey should have got it almost every year because the most valuable guy, the most valuable player, isn't the guy with the biggest stats. It's the guy that you can't play without.
Right.
And having a guy like a Pounce, I thought he, you know, when he won it, when he was in his couple years, like when you can't have a guy like that, that's important. You know, there's times we've had tackles and AJ Brown limping a little bit.
Spence, aren't we due for another beer?
Well, yes, we are. Okay. That's funny you'd mention that. All right.
No, so I'm just getting thirsty. And by the way, are there any snacks here or what? We got snacks. I know it's a cheap production, but come on.
hope everyone enjoyed Bob's first and last
Bob, there's some pumpkin seeds
from a while ago.
No pumpkin seeds. I'm just kidding. That's fine. Yeah.
So, all right. So our third and final beer here is... out of the great state of New Hampshire.
Ooh.
Yes, this is actually sent in from listeners Jason and Brandy Esch from Marlborough, New Hampshire. It's from Frog Brewing Co. And this is actually a funny story. They sent in a couple beers and then they went to this brewery and sampled them themselves and then sent us their tasting notes.
No.
And so instead of reading a bio, I'm going to read their tasting notes.
Very
all right,
cool.
Yes.
Who did this?
This is Jason and Brandy Esch.
Thank you, Jason and Brandy.
And they
from this. New Hampshire. New Hampshire. I didn't know there was a place called Marlborough, New Hampshire.
No, yeah, unless
so Marlborough man's from
Marlborough. Yeah, unless I'm mispronouncing that.
Taste everything.
Yes.
That they did.
This looks darker.
It is a little bit darker. It's a little bit like looks like a rosé. It is
rosé. Now we're talking.
Yes, it is a
bottle of rosé.
Oh, back into the wines. It is called the Lime Ricky Bobby because you know if he ain't first.
You're last.
That's right. All right. This is a sour ale based on the Lime Ricky drink, cherry and lime flavor. This is their review here.
Okay.
It says heavy, and I mean heavy, pucker at the beginning. Best to take 2 or 3 gulps at a time to avoid the sour shock each time. Ha 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 ha. They laughed about that because that is kind of funny. The lime flavor hits right after the pucker hoppy start. The finish is crazy because it morphs into a solid berry. It says Bing cherry flavor. I don't know what a Bing cherry is, but this one would be a hoot if you tried it on air, Ben.
Let's make it a hoot. Put it on. Put the camera on Bob.
Bob, you want to go first?
Okay. So, what do you say about puckering?
Don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous.
We nervous on the pucker.
Oh, there it is. What form?
It does have a rosé quality to it. I like it.
That developed, huh?
I can taste the lime. I can taste. I feel the like I'm cherry? In New Hampshire when I drink it. Cherry.
Your eyes are watering.
I fuck her hard enough.
All right, Ben. What we got here?
All right.
What we got here for the Lime Ricky Bobby here?
Come on, please don't let me cry like Bob.
Oh, I heard this. There it is, the veteran connoisseur of beer.
You know what? It's not as sour as other ones we've had.
But you thought, well,
it's definitely not worth a Bob Pompey face.
I didn't make a face.
Your eyes are still watering.
Eyes are watering because I told you I'm a lightweight and I'm not used to sampling.
Three beers. I sampled three beers. I'm like, eyes are watering.
Actually, 3.5 if you count the Corona. But I do like it.
It's
good. I can taste the lime and the cherry.
Yeah.
You're right. It doesn't have the what you described, that aftertaste.
So said it. Yeah. They said it. The lime flavor hits right after the pucker hoppy start.
The
pucker hoppy. You know, the hoppy. I haven't even tried it. Let me join you on.
Let's see if you hoppy or pucker.
I mean, yeah, that gets you. It doesn't shut you down like some of them.
It's good.
It gets you in the.
It got you it
back, here. Back here. No? Maybe because you drink an IPA.
The IPA like neutralized me?
Yeah, neutralized. That's very good.
The more I taste it, the more I like it, actually.
That's very good.
Yeah.
All three of these have been spectacular tonight.
Yeah, Jason, Brandy, thank you so much.
Frog Brewing
out of Marlboro.
Hop right in.
Yeah, they have two other ones that are currently in your fridge as well.
Oh,
so
from Frog Brewing or from those?
Both. So they went to Frog and got a couple, and Frog hooked them up so they could send them to the show. So thank you both.
Yes, thank you.
Jason, Brandy, and Frog Brewing.
Thank you very much.
That's actually very good. Awesome. It is growing on me.
I like it. I liked them all, actually.
I think the alcohol, you have to check on the label. I think it's like 3.8.
So very light.
Yeah.
Drink it all day.
You can drink that like Gatorade.
See, that's why it doesn't make sense that it's making your eyes water.
No, it's an accumulation of all of this together with no food. I haven't eaten yet, and I got to eat before we go back. This is going to be a disaster at 11 o'clock.
No, it's not. Bob, before you go, if you don't have to answer this question, was there ever, and if it's me, you can say it. I'm okay with that. Was there ever an athlete that you just couldn't stand or didn't want to interview?
I would never say couldn't stand. I tried to deal with everybody equally.
But if your producer said, "Hey, you've got to go. We need you to interview this guy," and you're just like, "I'm just not looking forward to this."
So I'll tell you the one story. The only time I've ever been kicked out of a locker room was with the New York Giants. It was Lawrence Taylor, who I didn't even know at the time had an on and off policy about what day he talks. We went up there in advance of a game, and so I wanted to talk to him, and I didn't know this was the day he didn't talk. No one warned me. We didn't have media people around who were saying. So I went up to him, I extended my hand and said, "Hello, Mr. Taylor. My name is Bob," and he slapped it away. He said, "I'm not talking today." And then the Italian in me got a little, I said, "Well, you didn't have to do that stuff, you know? Why are you doing that?" And then I realized I'm yelling at Lawrence Taylor, and I shouldn't be doing that. That's not a very good way for self-preservation.
It's a terrifying human.
And of course, I was the one told to leave, but I didn't do anything. I didn't know that he didn't talk. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't like him. That's the experience that comes to mind for me.
That's a great start.
That's amazing.
I learned a lot. I just should have asked more questions, but no one stopped me. So I figured out he's there.
Yeah,
why would you do it? Right?
I'm not talking today. At least he slapped your hand and not like worse.
No, it could have been worse. I mean, I could have been in trouble there. So
you versus Lawrence, you wouldn't have. How long are you lasting in that fight?
I'm tapping out before it even starts. I'll tell you that right now.
It's a wise man.
I'm tapping out before it even starts. Yeah. No, I mean, most people I've dealt with are pretty good. Yeah. I had a run-in with Donald Evans. You wouldn't remember him. He was a Steeler defensive lineman. Again, he didn't like something that we had said, and he came after me the one time. And I said, "Look, you can say whatever you want. This is how I felt, you know, about your play."
Yeah.
Sorry.
You didn't have any Ryan Leaf moments with that report where he's like,
"Oh, that was no."
None of those.
No. But I have seen, like, one of my favorites is Jim Leland in the locker room when he was managing. And he would tell
Skip's
you,
the best,
"Oh,
by the way.
My God."
He's
he would eat that, you know, post game meal. He'd have chicken hanging out of his mouth, stuck in his mustache. And you can ask him. My biggest thing, I always wanted to get emotion out of Jim. And so
he could cry on like a dime,
he
right?
cries like a baby. And so do I. So I appreciate that. Jim, if you're watching,
We love Skip.
But he'd start one of his press conferences. I'm really not going to talk about the umpires. I'm not going to talk about it. No matter what you think, I'm not going to. And still singing out. And I said, "Yeah, but really affected the game." So I told you, I'm not going to talk about that. Umpires, I'm not going to talk about it. Well, let me tell you something about those umpires. They never should have called you. You get them going a little bit in the Jim Leland way. He was a beauty. I love. He's a good golfer.
He is. I know the skip from up at Chartier's. Yeah, yeah. Chartier.
Yeah, where you win just about every tournament.
That's my partner.
I know.
He's a player. He's a player. He knows the course well. He plays it four times a day.
And he's got a good life up there. Yeah, he does.
The French.
And so do you. You've won every French event. Every time I see you up there, you're winning.
So. Well, welcome to football. Well, anything else, Bob?
No.
We don't want to keep you here. We know you have a real job. Yeah. We have a real job.
I need another for the road. For the roadie home. I'm not going to drive after all now, so look out.
No, I wouldn't drive in the weather van either. Put that thing out. Get the weather on the way down. I might wake the kids up. Hey, kids, you guys want to see a cool weather van?
Jam's going to get home and be like, why is there a weather? Yeah. I will say, as we're landing this plane, Bob, so you can get off and go to work, what are your hopes for or what do you see as the future for the Steelers moving forward after that win?
Well, I mean, I think this NFL is so unpredictable, right?
Sure.
You never know what it's going to take. You've been in so many of these situations where you look like you're out, all of a sudden you're on a little bit of a roll, and the 19, or what year was it, the Bettis Chicago when you guys had to win out. That's when your Super Bowl, 2005. Yes,
five,
right? Is that right? Yeah, 2005,
six.
But you were 7-5 or something.
Yeah,
and something at the time, people were saying there's no way. I mean, you're going to hear that. So they're 2-6. What are they realistically going to do? Well, if they win their division games, you never know. They beat Cincinnati once. Should have lost probably, but they beat them. And if they beat them again, all of a sudden now you're 4-6 and you got a couple of winnable games. So I just think they have enough on defense to keep them in games. I thought this at the beginning of the year. This is why I thought they'd be better than they are right now. Because I thought their defense would keep them in games. Yeah. Watt goes out, and defense gave up too many chunk plays of over 20, all this stuff.
Yeah, but you called that early. You said the same thing. Like that's because the first game, their defense was insane.
If you have even close to that effort or something, you can be in every single game, and you know you have a run game that you think should have been better.
I thought Nas ran better than he had in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was.
Well, I think the fact that Tomlin also kind of left it open for Jaylen Warren, and he split some of the practice reps with him. Maybe that's a little message, you know? I don't know.
Message, or maybe it's just generally good. Like, maybe it's just good to, like, get a breather every once in a while.
Yeah, because last year, he was touching the ball every time.
Yep.
That's, after a while, that's not good for self-preservation, especially second contract running backs. You don't you're going to be beaten up. So, I don't know. I tend to be optimistic in how I think. Realistically, I don't, you know, probably not going to get back in the playoff picture. It would take a lot because those same teams I think they could beat probably think they can beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know,
but like you said, right now the league is so like it's weird. Crazy. It's like there's
Buffalo?
Not even a handful of teams, a couple teams at the top. And then it's just a big mess in the middle.
Buffalo now is 6-3.
Yeah.
You know, at this point of taping this, when does this air, by the way? So I don't date the schedule or whatever.
So air tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll drop that fast. Tomorrow. You turn around that quick.
Yeah, man.
It's an amazing production.
Yeah. we got a big team over here.
No, I just hope it's good, compelling football all the way to the end. That's all I like. Yeah. I like that.
This game will be fun. I'm excited for this game. My son was so mad that they flexed it out of the Sunday night game because he's had his friends come to the game, you know? And we're like,
what's wrong with 425? It's going to be dark.
It's not a night game. It's not the Sunday night game.
It will be dark.
It's not the Sunday night game, Bob.
It's on KDK, though. I like that. It gives us more to do. So selfishly, I like they made that switch.
So he was bummed about that. But anyway, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Coming on.
Good to see you.
Yes. Next time we'll get three holes in the simulator.
Yeah,
maybe we'll just do that as like not part of football. We'll just do it as like a short on our channel.
Oh, yeah.
We can do
that. That'd be
fun. Yeah, can I pick the course?
Sure. Whatever one you want.
Okay.
Whatever one you want. You can pick anyone you've played before because you know there's not like real trees on the simulator. It's just a screen.
You're implying that I hit trees? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you just did there? Come on.
All right, listen. And the other thing that will be to your advantage is, and I know this for a fact because you are a sand kind of guy, that you don't really get like penalized for hitting in the sand.
Again, parting shot. Couldn't have been hospitable and just say, thank you for joining me. No, you got to take two daggers right there.
No snacks, right. Calls you out.
No snacks. Hey, kind of, I did tell you where to go get snacks.
Yeah, what kind of operation is this?
I'm going to be there if I have time now.
You got time. We're ready. We're done.
We're landing this plane.
I guess that's our cue.
Yeah,
that's our cues. You're so long.
I could call off or we could sit down here and go through the simulator now.
This is actually our shortest podcast of all time, Bob. So, I mean, she's got you out of here fast.
Yeah, Charlie hung around for 3 hours.
All right, well, I don't have the kind of, you know, background that you guys have. I'm just sitting here talking sports, doing whatever. And I do appreciate the beer.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming. We know it's not your forte, but we appreciate you participating. We appreciate you hanging out.
Wine, you should adjust and do some wine nights.
We might. We've had some people offer like whiskey. We've had quite a few people throw some different thoughts at us. Yeah. But right now we're just a small mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
Trying to make it work.
One day when you do crack open in the Louis the 13th, I expect at least one call.
Well, I can't see that. Is that open up?
And Louis the
13th. The one in the center.
Yeah, you can have the bottom one right behind me. But no, thank you again to Creekside. Thank you to everybody that sent beers in. Cinderlands and all the fans, everybody watching around the world live right now. Yeah, thank you for tuning in. And thanks to Bob, Pompey, Annie.
There you go.
Potato.
All
right, Spence. Thanks,
guys. Appreciate
thank you guys so much for your time. If you guys are not already, go ahead and follow Footballin' with Ben on Instagram. Stay plugged in. We do beer lists so you guys can drink along with us. We do exclusive content, and we also do giveaways, so stay plugged in there. Thank you guys so much again for your time. Bob, it was a pleasure meeting you. I wish we could sit here for another 2 hours, man. This has been awesome. Next time with the goal. I
got obligations tonight.
Yes, clearly. So, we appreciate you guys, and we will see you all next week. Ooh, you thought he wasn't ready, but he was ready, guys.